League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Chase Silseth, 15-day IL. Chase Silseth, 60-day IL. Michael Stefanik, 15-day IL.
Have either of these guys played this year?
Guys. Let's see. Silseth, I doubt. Stefanik, zero appearances in 2024. And Chase Silseth has appeared in two games. And now he's on the 60-day IL.
That's kind of Bush League blankers.
It was blankers Bush League in the game. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776.
I mean, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
I don't think anybody's concerned about your sleep.
Okay.
Bush League? I find
out more and more the little concern there is, and I don't care. So I played the game. They were on the roster.
Yeah.
Now they're on the IL.
You did play the game, but just not.
Can you be in the roster if you play
judge
zero
and
games?
Jury. All right, cool.
It's two against one.
It always is.
That's not always is. Don't be like that. Oh, don't be like everybody's always against you, blankers. No one's always against you, just when you're wrong. Hunter Brown is Jalen Green, except there's one slight difference. Jalen Green has actually showed more than Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown, like, this is what's frustrating with Hunter Brown. We got into it a little bit earlier. 713-780-ESPN. Hunter Brown is annoying because we know that the upside is there. He hasn't done it this year, but he had games last year. Like, first half of the year, he had, like, a sub-4 ERA. So it's like, okay, here we go. Rookie pitcher. He's showing flashes. He's going to have this natural progression into turning into a good pitcher. How good? Who knows? But the frustrating thing about him is that he shows that he has potential. He flashes glimpses of being really stinking good at times. The problem is when he's bad, he is really bad, and the really bad it pollutes the good. He's very similar to Jalen Green on that front, except Jalen Green, like we talked about how Jalen Green's inconsistent. Jalen Green's actually more consistent than Hunter Brown is. Like Jalen Green, was he going to get a supermax, blah, 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 blah. Like those are fair conversations to have. But in terms of where they're at relative to their sport, Jalen Green's like up here and Hunter Brown's like down here. So you can see comparisons from the two of them in the sense that here are two highly talented players that both have very, very high-end potential, that if they were to achieve that high-end potential, you're talking about really good players. Like, you're talking about Hunter Brown as a potential top two of the rotation starting pitcher. You're talking about Jalen Green. Maybe he can be a top two player on what is a team that can make a playoff run, a deep playoff run. But the thing that is holding both of them back, and Hunter Brown more than Jalen Green, is that consistency. Jalen Green isn't there yet of being a top two player on a playoff team. Why? Because of consistency. Hunter Brown's not quite really even like a top three starter on a good big league rotation yet. Why? Because of consistency. So there's a lot of comparisons, I think, between Hunter Brown and Jalen Green.
No, I think it's a good comp in a lot of ways. I think that the upside is still far greater for Jalen Green because he's shown more. I think that's exactly what you were saying, is the fact that Hunter Brown has, it's like Harold Miner. He's got all the tools. Will he ever put it together? Will he ever be able to kind of fine tune it and pitch more than he throws to kind of maximize the pitches that he has that have shown to be better than major league average in terms of as a pitcher? Whereas Jalen Green has shown you enough that's what makes it so frustrating to watch him night in, night out for the Rockets. Because even when he's bad, he's not out of the league bad. He's just not to the level of thinking you should offer him a max contract or, you know, a long-term big, big, big money deal. But you know that he's good enough to play in the NBA. You know his basketball skills are not what's being questioned. It's just kind of, again, putting it all together into a tight little package that can be effective every single night, whether your game's on or not. And when he's not, he hasn't had the blow-ups like Hunter Brown. So it's easier to say, hey, I'll roll a little bit further and take a few more chances with a Jalen Green. than I will a Hunter Brown. But at some point, you got to pay both of those guys, and that's going to be a really tough situation to get into because for Jalen Green, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that like if Jalen Green, a lot of people, well, he's a sixth man. You know, he's a guy off the bench, like you're saying, he's not a guy out of the league. There's a very real scenario that exists in which Hunter Brown's not on the Houston Astros this year, and I'm not talking about a trade. I'm talking about he's in Sugarland because right now he's already. I don't think that he's on the cusp of being off the roster this time because Jose Urquidy's going to come back. What do you do when Jose Urquidy comes back? What is the move? I think the move's probably Spencer Arrighetti. I don't think it's Hunter Brown. And you can even throw Sean Dubin, who I know is already sent down, but you know he could come up for Parker Meschinski once his days are up. So I think Hunter Brown's probably third on the chopping block. It's Meschinski. I would say it's Arrighetti because I don't think they're going to move Arrighetti to the bullpen. I think they want to keep him stretched out as a starter. Mm-hmm. And then it's Hunter Brown. But if you stay healthy, well, you got Urquidy coming back. He'll take the spot of Meschinski. Or he might take the spot of Arrighetti. You have Luis Garcia, who's going to come back this summer. If everybody's healthy, he's going to take the spot of whether it's Meschinski or Arrighetti. And then Lance McCullers is scheduled to come back. That takes the spot of Hunter Brown. There is a very real chance that the Astros are going to be forced into a decision this summer where Hunter Brown's not one of their 13 best pitchers, and he has to get optioned back down to the minors.
Yeah, and maybe that's the reality check that kind of lets it all sink in to where you have to kind of readjust your thought process in terms of what you need to do to hone in your skills to do the kind of things that we're talking about. Because when you look at it, if it's just, hey, from a starting pitching perspective, and I had said when you had these 2 to 3 starts coming up before they had to make a move with Urquidy, who was going to pitch better? I think the clock started, no matter what you had done, both had blow-up games, Arrighetti or Brown. I think if you just say who earned it to this point, I would lean Arrighetti over Brown. But you're right. I think that they still, because they know injuries are still going to happen, no matter how many they sustained, and they can't afford to have both guys or take a guy that's been stretched out working into the bullpen, and then depending on what you do with Hunter Brown, if you kept him up as a bullpen arm, then you're really limiting yourself even more. So if it's the decision between a starter versus a pitcher and a guy that can be more effective in your bullpen, Hunter Brown's come out of the bullpen before. He's been a guy you've been able to use before in the bullpen. Hunter Brown's a guy you can use in the bullpen if that's what you want to do. And I think then Arrighetti would be a guy that makes sense. But if it's me just picking between the two guys right now with the way they pitch to get hitters out, I'd lean Arrighetti.
Yeah, I probably – I don't know which way I lean. I would probably go Hunter Brown. I'd go Hunter Brown over Arrighetti.
Because of the stuff?
Yeah, he's got more potential.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically and essentially, an above-average fastball and slider versus the fastball and a sweeper. And a little bit more experience on the big league level for Hunter Brown. I just feel like if you're just going by who's kind of earned the spot over the last two starts for each guy, I would lean Arrighetti.
Arrighetti's last two starts have been better than Hunter Brown's last two starts. That's not really, that's not for debate. I agree with you on that. For me, it's more that he has the history of being with the big league team. I think that they're going to give him a little bit of the seniority over Spencer Arrighetti. And quite frankly, neither one's been good. They both have ERAs like in the sevens. So do you go seniority with Hunter Brown? Like, do you give the slight edge to Arrighetti because his ERA is lower in the sevens than Hunter Brown's, who's upper in the sevens? I think that they're going to keep Hunter Brown over Spencer Arrighetti when Urquidy comes back.
I think if it's just deciding, like, we need to put a guy in the bullpen, I think that's where it goes to. Brown's been there, done that, and I think that, again, if you're just going up against hopefully three hitters and you're just using two pitches, I think those two pitches can be dominant against hitters in Major League Baseball as opposed to Arrighetti, who we talked about, is both have control issues too, but I think that he has better control of the two pitches that he's going to rely on versus Arrighetti having that kind of control with fastball, sweeper, and whatever else he's trying to use.
713-780-ESPN. Space City Kev says it's not a bad comp. However, I think you have it backwards because Brown contributed to a championship. He pitched very well during that 2022 run. That's true. I mean, he did.
He had two regular season starts.
And he pitched 10 innings in the postseason and had a sub-175 ERA in a year they won the World Series.
Yeah, he did when he was brought in the playoffs. Maybe it wasn't the biggest sample size to please everybody, but he did get guys out.
I mean, you have a sub-170 ERA and over 10 postseason innings in that postseason where you win it all. I mean, you have to tip your cap to that. You do have to tip your cap. And that's ultimately why I think they're going to give the edge. That's part of the seniority that I'm talking about. I think they're going to have Arrighetti go down, stay stretched out. I think your point's a good one, too. Like, if Urquidy comes back and he's taking somebody's job in the rotation, you're still looking at a six-man rotation. And then when and if you go back to a five-man rotation, who do they feel more confident in like a long man, multi-inning bullpen role? I think they're going to be more willing to do that with Hunter Brown than they are Spencer Arrigetti.
Yeah, no, I think that, and it goes to the point of the listener that said that, in the fact that been there, done that, and the guy that, and maybe again, we're talking about the psyche as much as with both players, with Jalen Green, because we know how much he's been affected. He reads things, he hears things, he knows things, he's responded to things. And from Hunter Brown's perspective, it's a fragile psyche as a pitcher anyway. But if you're struggling, if you know you're struggling and you haven't been your best, a chance to go into the bullpen and be a guy that's been effective for a team in that role in the past and kind of resurrect the confidence your team has in you and maybe your own self-confidence, maybe that's a way to look at it too.
60-30, let's hope that Brown has two or three really good starts and gets the trade wheels moving. He's lost a lot of value from where he was, let's say, 2 years ago. He's lost a lot of value from where he was, the first 2 months of last year. Hunter Brown's trade value has went down. Like, if he was a stock, he might be at his 52-week low, or very near his 52-week low.
Because you think about it, a year ago or so, you're talking about a guy that's probably in the top 100 prospects in baseball?
I think he was, yeah.
And so there's a ton of value for most teams in the bigs that want to get a guy in their system like that. Because of the upside. Now, there's worry that maybe it was a misread. Maybe that they didn't see what the reality is. What they saw was not what's there right now. Can he figure it out? Now you're talking about more question marks and variables that are shaky that teams don't want to take as much of a flyer on. Or if it is, it's a flyer. It's not giving up true prospects or talent to go get a guy like that.
713-780-ESPN. What if Urquidy comes back and is hot garbage? I think you have to have a plan in place for that. If he comes back and he's hot garbage, then, I mean, I don't think he has options left. You're probably looking at him as your, back end of the – or not back end, your first reliever who's mopping up innings. Like, he turns into your Brandon Belak.
But that legitimizes your point even more in the fact that that's why it's so vital to keep Arrigetti stretched out as a starter. Because if he does crap the bed, then you got to have a guy that can plug and play right away. Because you have set yourself to be playing catch up a little bit with how bad you got off to your start. You need a guy that can come in and keep you in ball games. And if Arrigetti's been doing that lately, then you need him stretched out and then he goes to Sugarland.
Well, you can say that about both of them. You can say that about both Hunter Brown and Spencer Arrigetti.
Brown's been better, but as we talked about the last two starts.
No, I'm talking about from a stretched out perspective.
Oh.
Like if your desire is to keep pitchers stretched out, you really need both of them stretched out because right now they're both they're one of your top six starters, and if Urquidy comes back, he's seven, but if he's not good and you don't want him as a starter, then you need the other guy stretched out. That's why the Astros started or they signed that Eric Lauer guy. Is that how it's pronounced? He was a Brewer. They signed a pitcher today, Eric Lauer, who was not very good last year. He had some injuries. He actually had some pretty good years in the big leagues prior to that. He's not super old. I think he's in his late 20s. They signed him to a minor league deal. He's going to report to Sugarland. Like that's a pretty good signing.
When
like,
we talk about organizational kicking the tires, depth. Yeah, kicking the tires and taking chances that are very low risk but high reward possibilities. That's the kind of thing they should be doing. They should be doing this more and more because of the fact that their farm system has been depleted as well, as we all know, and it's been highlighted. But you need guys that possibly can still be useful this season that are major league experienced. They don't have any of those guys.
The Astros are not calling up Chaz McCormick today. Chandler Rome said he won't be activated today. He's at Minute Maid Park. We'll go through pregame. Joe Espada said he will join the team soon. So not today, but soon. So Cabbage lives to see another day. And then McTaggart was tweeting. Rennell Blanco's doing a live BP today to keep his arm fresh. He got taken deep twice. Greg Kessinger took him deep. Trey Cabbage took him deep. And
not the best of the best.
Yeah, I was going to say, not the two names. If you heard that kind of news, that you would want to be on the giving end of home runs.
Don't worry, guys. He's just working on things.
This guy on Twitter, Textro, says, yeah, that guy was cheating.
I was going to say, that's the first thing everybody's going to start saying. If he gives up bombs after being caught with sticky stuff, everybody's going to say it was the sticky stuff. They'll start questioning the no-hitter.
Just how good he is. No question if he's like a big league pitcher. Like his next start's kind of important from a perception point of view. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have a whole lot of, stakes in terms of him long term. But if he pitches poorly in this next start, he's going to get all of the grief. He's going to get all of the criticism. There's going to be a lot of pressure on his next start.
Remember, Cole got some of that after he had the spider attack, and then he went cold turkey. and had some shaky outings, and people were, oh, and then he kind of found it again.
Anybody who pitched bad after that was getting the he's sticky stuff label. Yep. Also, Jose Urquidy will make his third rehab start for Sugarland this weekend. Day to be determined, Joe Espada said. So looks like he's getting closer to return as well. 713-780-ESPN. Wolves and Mavs. We have our Western Conference Finals. They're playing for, in my opinion, an NBA championship, but there's also an added stake to this series. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's that time of year. You're wasting your valuable time dealing with your yard. Your yard's wet right now for unforeseen reasons that happened these last few days. It's not in great shape, unfortunately. But if you had a yard from Sinlawn, it would be perfect 365 days a year. You wouldn't be worrying about weeds, dead spots, buying patches of grass, trying to cover up those dead spots, fix those dead spots. And you'd be doing all these chores that you don't want to put up with. Well, stop doing that. Get your weekends back. Sinlawn's here to help you and get your weekends back. Sinlawn's the evolution story of the AstroTurf that, of course, was made popular by the Astrodome. And now Sinlawn, S-Y-N Lawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. You can't have get-togethers. You can't entertain. You can't have people over because you're embarrassed about your yard. Well, Sinlawn artificial grass is the best on the market, and you'll never have to worry about that again. Why Sinlawn is the best is they're going to control the process from yarn to yard. It starts with the quality top-shelf products that are made in the USA, fully insured, fully bonded. Sinlawn has their own in-house crews. They don't contract a single thing out, and Sinlawn backs it up with their lifetime warranty. Sinlawn's number one priority, making their customers happy. Sinlawn's perfect for your yard, whether it's the patio, kids' playground, your pets, or the putting green that you've always wanted. You'll have the perfect yard year-round without the stress and hassle. 975-SINLAWN.com to learn more. That's 975-SYN-LAWN.com to get started on the yard of your dreams. Sinlawn, artificial grass never looked more natural.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Saw Minnesota come back from a 20-point deficit yesterday to beat Denver. Pretty impressive from the Wolves. You know, we didn't really give them much of a chance after they took a 2-0 lead, winning the games in Denver, then lost three straight. Oh, they're done. They went at home, whatever. It's just a home game to set up the game 7. They were down by 20, and then all of a sudden, Minnesota comes back and wins. Sets up a Western Conference final, Blankers, of Dallas and Minnesota, which, in my opinion, is for the championship. I don't care about the Eastern Conference. I don't think Boston's good enough to win a title. I don't think the Pacers are good enough to win a title. Wolves and Mavs not only are for the NBA championship, but also the added stake that they're playing, Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards, as the next face of the league. So whatever team wins this series, they're NBA champions, not worried about the Eastern Conference. And whoever wins the series, whether it's Edwards or Luka, they are the new face of the NBA.
I'll disagree on both. I'll disagree because of the fact that I think, in my opinion, the Celtics are going to win the championship. I think the Celtics are so deep and so talented that I think that they should be the favorite no matter what, and I think they can compete with either one of those teams. But I think that, look, as a basketball fan, as an NBA basketball fan, I think that at least we're set up for some good basketball. I don't think it's going to disappoint with the teams that are still alive. From the standpoint of the face of the league, I don't know. I don't think it's as clear cut as just one of those two guys, because I don't think that there is one guy that stands out like LeBron has, like MJ used to. I think, to me, there's another name in the mix for sure, if not more. But I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the way he's played, the way he continues to play, it sucks that he's in Oklahoma City from the standpoint he doesn't get the exposure as much. But I don't think you can help but give him more of a chance to be the face of the league based on his performance in the playoffs, the way he carried his team down the stretch when they needed buckets late in games, and the big numbers he put up. I don't disagree that Luka and Anthony Edwards are definitely in that conversation. I would just add at least one other name to the mix in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, I can't put him in the mix there because he lost. Like, and I understand that he's an OKC. They were the higher seed, though. Like, if you're going to be the face of the league, and certainly he's very popular. I think he's very good. I love his game. Wish he was in Houston. I really love what he brings to the table. But I can't have him in the conversation with Luka when Luka just beat him in a best of seven as the lower seed.
Yeah, I get it for just what's happened this year, but we all, I think everybody in their career kind of flourishes at different times. I think from the standpoint, if you sleep on Oklahoma City, and it's fair to say, hey, they were the one seed. They got beat. But I think that you better get them now because I believe that this is a team that with the talent they've already assembled and the fact that they have truly identified their go-to guy to start with, Holmgren looks like he can play above average. The Jalen Williams looks like he's going to be a really good player for this team. But they have so many draft picks and so much. I think they have 30-some million dollars in cap space, too, to where I think they're only going to get better. Just like Minnesota. I think Minnesota, they've locked up with a lot of big contracts that I think are going to be risky, dead weight-ish with Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert for the long haul. But I think that for right now, Anthony Edwards is only going to get better. I hate the MJ comparisons, and I don't think it's fair to him either. But I think he's clearly shown that he belongs in that conversation. I think of the two teams, I think OKC has the chance for longevity and to even get better.
Sure.
And then to stay there. And I think that'll elevate Shea because Kevin Durant was able to find that in Oklahoma City. But you're right. If you just want to say head-to-head, if that matters, yeah, Luka beat him. I just think that from the standpoint of how long they're going to be consistently in the forefront, I think it's just getting started for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander because of OKC.
Yeah, but he might be a year away. Like, I don't disagree with what you said, that SGA is on the upward trajectory and Oklahoma City is on the upward trajectory. I agree with you. I think they're going to be a problem for a very long time. But they might be a year away. Like, we might be having this conversation with SGA going into the following year. I can't put him on the, you know, Mount Rushmore of the new face of the league whenever Luka beat him and Anthony Edwards got further in the league than them. Like, SGA maybe in the conversation, but to me, second fiddle behind those guys.
Yeah, I think that the other thing you have to factor in is the fact that the old fiddle isn't gone yet. I think the old
fiddle. We're talking new face of the league, though, the next face of the league.
Yeah, because it's almost annoying, but LeBron's still going to be one of the faces. But, yeah, if you want to talk about of the young group that's coming up, the two guys that have earned it by advancing. And look, I think that Anthony Edwards, the other thing, you beat the champs. When you beat the champs, it does elevate. And because as he was backing up his talk for the most part. He was, you know, carrying his entire squad. That constitutes it. Luka may be affected negatively by the fact that Kyrie was huge down the stretch in the last couple of games for Dallas as well, to where – unequivocally, the best player on the Minnesota Timberwolves is Anthony Edwards.
And to be clear, I'm saying that the one team that wins the title. Like, part of this is I'm saying the champion and the best player on the championship team will be the next face of the league. Because I think that the winner of the West is going to get by the team in the East, which will be fun because we disagree on that.
See, because I think, and on the flip side to your argument, I don't think if Boston wins it, either guy is going to be, either Brown or Tatum are going to be the face of the league.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, in terms of face of the league, it's whoever comes out of the East, even if they don't win the championship, I'll see that. And then whoever comes out of the West.
Yeah.
And then from the Eastern perspective, I think Boston, they're supposed to win it. They're favored to win it in a lot of people's minds, but I think they're the most talented team. But even if they win it, I don't think any of the guys on that team are going to be the face or a face of the league.
What'd you think of the call in the Mavs Thunder game?
I think it was legit. I think that, yeah, you can make the argument that, and some people say, hey, the minute that the hand touches the ball in the shooting process, that means it's a block. But on the continuation, he's still trying to shoot the basketball, and the shot was affected by the fact that the follow-through took the elbow and completely hit the arm, to where I think that it was a legit call to be made, and credit to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander after the game for saying, I fouled him. I shouldn't have fouled him.
Yeah, I thought it was a very easy call. Mm-hmm. This was a perfect example of the call on the floor was correct, but did it lessen our entertainment value of the game? Did. Also correct. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to see how that game played out without the call. But at the same time, I'm not going to hold it against the official for making the correct call. Like, you can't be mad at an official for making the correct call. Can I want as a viewer that he let it slide, that he let it go? Yes, I can want that, but also understand that I'm not going to be upset with the officiating when he got the call right. You have to be able to separate the two.
Now, it was a one-point game when the foul was called, mm-hmm. I believe. So I think that, to the point you just made, If that game's tied and there's a chance to go to overtime, then I think the ref might swallow his whistle.
I hope not, because if that's the case, then that's screwy. Now you're screwing with the game.
I've always believed that it's a different set of individual rules by officials in the final seconds of a game. And I believe that if they knew that it would give the teams the chance to decide it on the floor, if it was tied, they might not call that foul. But the fact that that game was in the balance because of the fact that one team had a lead and it was under 5 seconds, they made the call.
From a viewer's perspective, I like that. From a purist technicality point of view, I think that's dumb. I think it's ignorant. I agree with you that it happens. I'm not arguing with you. I don't think that it should happen. If you're going to uphold the integrity of, the officials and the game by making the correct call, in this situation, you should also be making the correct call in that situation. You shouldn't be influenced by situation, scenario, score late in the game. I'm not denying that it doesn't happen.
Nothing has frustrated me more watching NBA basketball for all these years than the fact that there is a second set of rules and there is a personality issue with officials that comes into play late in games.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about, the strike zone in baseball becoming completely done by, computers and that just to get the call right, then you are supposed to be following the letter of the law from the start of the game to the end of the game. And that has not been the case for years and years and years in the NBA.
I think that NBA, though, that the basketball officials have the hardest job. I think it is the most difficult. I think it's harder. Obviously, it's harder than baseball. I don't think baseball is that difficult to umpire. Balls and strikes, different. Football, difficult because you have the burst of energy and a very fast, quick pace for 8 seconds of play, especially the pass interferences, the bang bangs. That's difficult. The holdings are difficult. I don't think there's a tougher game to officiate than NBA basketball.
I agree with that because of the fact that, too, when you talk about baseball, when there is a bang bang play and a really tight call, the replay can be used more than it can be in the NBA. These guys are just with the naked eye for the majority of all NBA games at a very fast pace, making calls that they have to be adamant about. Whereas in baseball with the reviews, with NFL, with the chance to review more frequently, there's more of a chance that if you missed one, the video will, and you'll still be able to get it right. Where in the NBA, if you don't have your challenge, and I think it was evident last night, where one team was out of the challenges, where they could have challenged a couple plays down the stretch, and you just can't do it. And it doesn't matter if the call was right or wrong because of the fact that you didn't balance and that you got to rely on the officials.
I absolutely hate that New York lost the way that. No, who am I kidding? I love when New York has misery. I don't hate that at all. Dab says, I wish Halliburton would talk that ish before the game, then follow it up, though. He was wearing the Reggie Miller shirt after the game. I agree with that. I'm all here for Reggie Miller, Knicks, and Pacers, Knicks, and trash talk, especially towards the Knicks. I don't like the Knicks. I agree with Dab, though, that he probably should have shown up wearing that shirt.
Yeah, I agree. That's fine. But I think that when you talk about from the pregame to the game and the motivation that he got to do what he did, he backed up everything because they started talking to him pregame. DiVincenzo started talking to him early in the game, and it seemed to actually light a little extra fire on him. And I was critical of him early in the series. He was one of those guys that was like Kevin Martin used to be for the Rockets. For three quarters, he was putting up big numbers, and in the fourth quarter, he was disappearing.
Yeah.
He hammered them last night, and he constantly was talking back to DiVincenzo to say, keep talking, keep bringing it to me, kind of the way Anthony Edwards did. And he backed it up. I give him total credit for that.
Yeah, I like Halliburton's game. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
Weird launch, though. Yeah. It looks like he doesn't care when he puts it up there. And boy, the depth of the shots he was hitting last night from 25, 30 plus, he was hitting some deep shots.
He has a very unique skill set. Mm-hmm. His passing ability, he's a fun watch for me. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Time for our Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday with the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Here's a question to start. Are you tired of repairing potholes? Of course you are. Whether it's a parking lot, a ranch road, lay down yard, truck parking, whatever, we know how annoying potholes can be. We'll fix them for good with Third Rock Renewables. Maybe you don't even need to fix the pothole. Maybe you just need a parking lot. Maybe you need to build the parking lot. Maybe you need to build this ranch road or lay down yard or truck parking. Well, Third Rock Renewables is for you. They have a patented technology called mechanical concrete. Mechanical concrete's good for the parking lot, the ranch road, the laydown yard, the truck parking, and it's great for fixing potholes. It's the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns these end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. Call Third Rock Renewables right now, 713-305-0507, 713-305-0507, to find out how mechanical concrete can cut your maintenance costs by 75% or more while lowering your carbon emissions. Be green, save green. Also, if you mention ESPN 97.5, 20% off. Yeah, just mention us, 20% off your mechanical concrete to fix these potholes, these parking lots, these ranch roads, whatever. 713-305-0507 or thirdrockrenewables.com. Thirdrockrenewables.com to fix annoying potholes for good.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Mail call.
It's a mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Time for our mailbag Monday. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Whatever you want to ask the Bees, now is your chance to ask us whatever you want. Brisket, pork ribs, pulled pork. Get rid of one.
I'm going to get rid of pulled pork.
Okay, I'm going to get rid of pulled pork, too. I think this is a no-brainer. Brisket, no chance I'm getting rid of the only beef in these options. And then pork ribs are better than pulled pork.
Yep.
This is an easy one. Pulled pork by a mile.
Yeah, I would rather have a chopped beef sandwich than a pulled pork sandwich, so I'd get rid of pulled pork as well.
Chopped beef from the trimmings?
Yeah.
Brisket?
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bee? 713-780-3776.
I love some burnt ends, too.
Oh, burn-ins are elite. I got some of those from J-Bar-M a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I've been saying, so good. Just another kind of spin-off of the brisket, but you know me and my ability to like things that I get hammered for with well done, but I love the burn-ins are awesome.
Yeah. Surf or turf?
Turf.
Okay.
Nothing would beat a good steak, but man, I love shrimp. So it's tough. I guess it depends on what surf and what turf.
Is it surf lobster in it? Or is it whatever?
Just, no.
You can go with whatever surf you like.
Yeah, anything from the sea.
I like all kinds. I like both. The combination's fantastic.
I do too.
If I had to pick one, I'm probably going turf over surf. Now, the amount of options you get with the surf, though, like give me some shrimp. Love shrimp. Love lobster. You know what I really like that's very, very underrated? Scallops.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, scallops are
fantastic. Scallops might be the best of the three.
I don't disagree. And I love shrimp, even from a kid, little on. Love, love, love shrimp. But the fact is, you grow up in the Midwest, you grow up on steak. And steak is the trump card that beats everything else. And, I mean, I love a really good steak, so I'll lean that way.
You do, if you do scallops right, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. 8576, I'm heading to Damaris Barbecue. What do you recommend? Well, anything in the menu is great.
Pretty much everything is good.
They have the Hoffy Burger still, right? That's pretty good.
If I'm going to Damaris Barbecue, I'm not getting a burger.
I'm just saying. I mean, they've got a lot of good food. They have a very diverse menu there. They've got quesadillas. They got burgers. They got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they do have a very diverse menu. I like everything there. But every now and then, they used to give U of H. I think they still do this. But I haven't been on the U of H dime in a while. They would give U of H like a big discount. Huh. And I would go pretty often. Their nachos were.
You know who
really
else they
good.
Give a really big discount to?
Granada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the biggest discount.
Yep.
3311, rate the lettuce from first to worst. Spencer Arrighetti, Josh Hader, Chaz McCormick, Sean Mapes. I think this guy's misremembering what Chaz McCormick said.
Yeah, I don't believe Chaz should be in this conversation.
Chaz doesn't have great lettuce. He just has normal hair.
Maybe it's thick. I don't know. It's not like shoulder length like Arrighetti when they took him out and he was like fretting over getting out of the Abreu getting out of the inning. He was hat off and fluffing it out, all that stuff. I think this comes down to Mapes, Hader, and Arrighetti. I think I'll go Hader, Arrighetti, Mapes.
Reverse it.
What?
I said reverse it. Mapes number one.
Why? He always wears the freaking headband.
So a lot of people wear a headband. Hell, Jeremy wore a headband last week.
Well, he did that for Bregman.
I did it for myself.
That doesn't change the quality of the lettuce.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mapes one. I'll go Hater two. Chaz doesn't belong on this list. And then Arrighetti's third.
I eliminated Chaz.
Yeah, Chaz has short hair. 6860, you can bring back one spot in Houston that has been closed for years. What would it be?
Restaurant? It
says one spot.
One spot.
That one's easy for me.
What is it?
Bernie's Burger Bus? That place was fantastic.
They got rid of Bernie's?
That was popular.
They got rid of Bernie's Burger Bus?
Yeah, it started off as a food truck. They got their own brick and mortar, and they started expanding to multiple locations, and they started exploding, and then boom, the pandemic hit. I have my theories that maybe they spread and just got hit, at the worst possible time while they were trying to expand. But yeah, their burgers were fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had shut down. That's disappointing.
We went there right after the pandemic started. They stayed open for a little while, and then they ended up closing in May of 2020. We tried to get to like their going away day there, but the line was insane to get in.
I would go Astroworld.
Oh, that's a good call.
Someone on text message said that. That's Astroworld was when I first moved here was still going, and was really cool to be that close to it. And I like the fact that it was a neat little backdrop too, with being close to the stadiums and everything. But Sleeper, there was four of them, I think. Chang's Chinese Food in and around the downtown area.
I don't know that one.
Very underrated, very, very good. And all of a sudden, one day, they all shut down.
That's too bad. Yeah, Uncle Barney would take us to Astroworld every summer. We had season passes. Grease Lightning, best ride there. Love me some Grease Lightning. Every now and then, you get some cool employees. And if you went on a weekday and there wasn't a line, they wouldn't even make you get off.
I know.
You get off.
Yeah, many times.
Just nonstop Grease Lightning. It was outstanding. 713-780-ESPN. If you can only sign one, Jeremy Pena or Yiner Diaz?
That's a good question. I'll go... I'm leaning Jeremy Pena at this point.
I can't believe it took you so long to answer.
Well, because I still believe that Yiner could turn into a big-time power hitter in this league. But I think defense right now is a little bit in question for me, more so than the fact that you get unbelievable defense from Pena. If he hits, like, even just a little less than or this is the average, I'm all in on Pena.
Yeah, Pena, easy for me. Jeremy Pena is leading the American League in hits. His numbers are fantastic. I think he's second in batting average. His defense, you're playing a premium defensive position. Jeremy Pena. I still have hope that Yiner Diaz is going to figure. I still think that Yiner Diaz is going to hit. I am worried about Yiner Diaz and his transition to an everyday catcher and what that is doing to his bat. Because I do think that catchers have a difficult time sustaining their offensive success. Like, how many good hitting catchers are there in baseball? Not a lot. Like Adley Rutschman, Salvador Perez, even Real Muto has kind of fallen off the last couple of years. So I do think that him being a first-year primary catcher is very much impacting his bat.
I'll tell you the sleeper that the people don't throw in that conversation up, though, is Will Smith.
William Contreras,
Will Smith
we just
is
saw
good.
Him.
Yeah, William Contreras
and
is
William
good.
Contreras is really coming up quickly. Yep.
Yeah, those are two. Well, Smith's not young, but William Contreras
isn't it?
More. I think he's like
late
20s. 30. Yeah.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's been around a little bit. 713-780-ESPN. Do the arrows count? It's not bad.
Yeah, but the funny thing to me was, having worked in that same building for so long, the arrows weren't a thing when they were a thing. People were not like loyally supporting the arrows. It was really bad crowds. Now that they're gone and people are also contemplating NHL.
It was minor league hockey. It was minor leagues, though.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. And that's so different. But now all of a sudden people miss them when they're gone. But while they were here, I didn't think they got nearly the support that I thought they would get.
I mean, I enjoyed going to the games, and I would love to have them back. But, I mean, you can't dismiss the aspect of it being minor league. Like, when I would go, there would be 3,000 to 5,000 fans there. I'm not sure how many they put in on a consistent basis. But, you know, they would tarp off the top of the, you know, the compact center or later on the Toyota Center because there weren't enough fans. But, again, it's minor league. So
I don't think they'd ever tarp it off. They just wouldn't let
the games
sit
I went
there.
To, it was they had the curtain that would go around
the curtain,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, yeah, I said tarp, but yeah, I meant curtain.
What were you doing in the summit?
I was a part-time janitor.
Gotcha. Like Evan Gaddis. 3039, higher number. Kyle Tucker home runs this season or times per year. Y'all sweep the floor in your house. Kyle Tucker already has more home runs than the time of the times I sweep my floor in a house over the course of a year.
Sweep, does vacuuming count?
No? I don't think so. Because vacuuming is way easier than sweeping the house.
Yeah. We have one of those little hybrid vacuum sweepers.
Oh, like the Swiffer thing?
No, it's not really a Swiffer because it doesn't get... It's not wet.
No, but it's manual or is it electronic?
You mean plug it in.
Yeah. But it's not one of those, what they call those ones that just go on its own on a schedule?
Roomba? No, it's not a Roomba. I'm not bougie.
No, me either.
No, we have a normal vacuum that we use for our carpet, but then we have like a lightweight vacuum that's kind of like just like a broomstick, and it has like a little vacuum head at the end.
We use that for the staircase.
Yeah.
So we have both. I vacuum daily at our house.
Really?
Daily? Yep.
Well, you have dogs.
We have dogs, and I have a wife that's extremely anal about making sure the house is clean all the time.
Daily.
So I just know that one of the things to knock off the list in the morning is quick vacuum.
You're like what Harrison Butker described.
Nope. Nope, because my wife earns a good living.
What time do you vacuum? So I know not to bother you.
No, I have a routine. So
I know. I was curious what your routine is. Like, legit, I know I'm
so
I'm
we get the girls. But Lisa gets the girls up. Then I walk the dogs. Then I take the girls to school. When I come back to from school, I normally feed the dogs and vacuum before I go to the gym because she's getting ready for work.
That's nice. You get a nice little. That's nice. A clean house is nice. I mean that sincerely. If Abreu comes back, you're willing to lose games just to justify his paycheck.
No.
No, no, not at this point. No,
no.
I mean, that's one that they got to suck up and admit. If he ain't good, then he's got to go.
I mean, Bagwell might be, but I'm not.
Crane might be. Bagwell might be. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'd rather win. I mean, I would pay Jose Abreu to go home and sleep on his couch every day and eat bonbons. Like, I don't need Jose Abreu on my baseball team. Now, if you want to give him one final Hail Mary, this is your final chance. Okay. All right. And that's a perfect segue to our next segment. Here's a good idea. Astros are winning baseball games. They're gaining all this momentum. What are they doing? Adding the worst everyday player in baseball history to the mix. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now, a word for Vanderford Air. We know that all week it's going to be in the 90s. It might get to triple digits by the weekend. The fact is, the heat is coming, and when it comes, it is not going to go away anytime soon. That means you need a reliable air conditioning company, an HVAC company that is going to be there for you, that is going to guarantee their work, and is going to be reliable when you need them most. A lot of times, that's when you have an air conditioner unit on the fritz. Your HVAC has got up and went, and it's 100 degrees, and you need someone there yesterday. The fact is, most companies will tell you, we're backloaded. We got a lot of people. We'll get to you when we can. It might be a couple days. It might be a week. No, not with Vanderford Air. When you call them, they will be at your door within 24 hours. That's a guarantee that I like because that's one that makes sense to me because I know I'm not going to be sweating it out for days on end, maybe weeks on end, trying to get a company to my house. It's fantastic. Family owned and operated with the same kind of values that you would expect. They take care of Houstonians on a daily basis, and they guarantee all their work. Whether they're replacing a part or they're replacing a whole unit, they are going to do great work, and they're going to stand behind it 100%. That means everything is 100% money-back guaranteed, from the parts to the service to the installers to everything that goes with it. You have to be 100% satisfied or your money back. That means everything that they tell you, and they're going to document it for you, they're going to do and do to the industry standards so that you are pleased with the work. That is what you're looking for, especially with big essential items like plumbing, which they also do, and they can do all of that too. But plumbing, air conditioning, heating, all those key things that you need that you cannot be without when the times and the elements say so, that's why you go to Vanderford Air. Check them out right now, vanderfordair.com. They are going to take care of you because that's what they do. Their entire business is circulated around making sure the customer is happy and they guarantee their work. They will guarantee you the work. That's why I guarantee you go to them. Save their phone number now because it's going to be essential. 281-557-COOL. 281-557-COOL. VanderfordAir.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees.
What's he saying about bees?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't know. He said he was, like, protecting the hive.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your resident beekeepers, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sadly, Jason Statham was unavailable.
I'm a beekeeper.
Dana Brown saying on Astros Radio this weekend that Jose Abreu could join the Astros on their next road trip. Joe Espada said today when he was meeting with the media that his return is imminent. like to see him produce a little bit better in West Palm Beach. Surprised he said that. But that his return is imminent. So looks like they're going to bring him back for the Oakland series. At least that's kind of my hunch. It's kind of my feel. They have a day off on Thursday, travel to Oakland, then three-game series against the Athletics in Oakland. Why in the world, when the Astros are starting to play good baseball, they've won 8 of their last 10, they're 4 games back, they're starting to play, here's a brilliant idea. Let's bring back the player who was on pace to be the worst everyday position player in big league history. Why are the Astros making this move now?
Again, if I could take a crack at this, because I would not do this now, but if I could take a crack at why, isn't this the place where CPR started working last year and they resurrected what was left of the season when he had the sprint around the bases home run for his first home run and slid into the dugout? And it's Oakland. They're not a great team. And it's on the road where he probably won't face the home boos. And it's a point in the schedule where maybe he can get right because they owe him one. They're doing him the solid that they said they were going to do. And everything lines up to where this is the best opportunity to where they still probably have a good chance to win the game against Oakland. It's on the road where he's not going to get booed by the home crowd. And the fact that he's had some good times in Oakland, even as an Astro when there weren't many, that's the best I can do.
Yeah, this is interesting timing because you are playing well. To me, this isn't the time to do it other than having a handshake agreement. Hey, Jose Abreu, whenever you go down to West Palm Beach, you're only going to be there for a few weeks, and we promise to call you up by this date. I also think it's funny that they're doing it on a road trip, the first of seven games in a row on the road. Why would you do it on a road trip and not at home, Branham? Home fans aren't going to be too kind to Jose Abreu, and that might impact the mental capacity of one Jose Abreu. You do it on the road, you're not going to have your own fans heckling you. So you got a little bit of a runway here when you're on the road, seven games. Not to say he'll be in the lineup in all seven of those games, but you give him a little bit of a grace period where he doesn't have to worry about the fans at home that are unhappy with Jose Abreu. So the handshake agreement, the fact that they're going on the road, I believe that's the reason they're doing this. But it's weird to me because you're playing good baseball. I do think this is a final Hail Mary, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long this period's going to be, which what do you think? How long is this runway? How many weeks, how many games are they going to give Jose Abreu the opportunity to win a job on this roster again? Not even a starting job, just a spot, to earn a roster spot so they don't have to give it to somebody else.
I think it's 2 weeks. I think I can't go further than that because of the hole that you dug to start the season. I think that the circumstances are such that maybe if it's a roster spot, they might hang on him till the end of the month. But at the same time, you don't have the wiggle room to give up a spot on your bench to a guy that pretty much hasn't been worth it all season long just because of the fact that you're trying to save face on the fact that you're going to be paying him a boatload of money over the rest of this season and next year, and you don't want to just set him free. You have to do what's best for this baseball team. And because of the fact that this baseball team and injuries and all the things we've talked about led to them not being their best to start the year, there's more pressure, there's not enough wiggle room, and there's the you can't leave your team out high and dry and hang it out to dry for the sake of trying to save face with a contract. I think it's 2 weeks of playing time, and it doesn't have to be every single game, but that's the maximum, and then they just either got to be done with it, wipe their hands of it, or hopefully he performs and shows you he's at least worthy of a roster spot.
I'll say a month or two. I feel like they're going to give him a couple of months. I think he'll get the rest of this month. I think he'll get June and July. And if it's still an absolute train wreck and he can't, hit left-handed pitching, I think that they will DFA him.
But is he going to play that whole time?
I think we'll get to that part in a second. So my leash is he gets through July. I think that they keep him on this roster, the rest of May, June, and July. I think that is the leash. I think that is the runway for Jose Abreu. Now, how do you handle the first base share becomes the question. For me, I probably start him against left-handed pitching. I think I go straight platoon. If I was running this team, Jose Abreu would not be on it. But if you're telling me I'm Joe Espada that Jose Abreu is going to be one of your 26 guys and you have no choice, you have no say in the matter, okay, and you have to give him a few starts every now and then, okay, I don't love what you're doing to me, but hey, you sign my check, you pay my bills, I'm willing to do business with you. I would have Jose Abreu start at first base against left-handed pitching. I'm going to keep John Singleton as my first baseman against right-handed pitching. I have a straight platoon at first base. I give Jose Abreu through the end of July to see what that looks like. If he's holding his own, okay. And then he continues to keep his job. He's fighting for his job. He continues to earn his job. If after that 2 months plus a week, he's not hitting left-handed pitching, he's doing nothing, I'm DFAing Jose Abreu.
See, I just think because of the fact that you got Singleton going by Abreu going, that if you platoon with Abreu with Singleton, do you run the risk of Abreu getting back to not being effective either? And I don't like the thought of him DHing either. So that's why I don't like him being up at all. But that's why I said 2 weeks. I mean, if 2 weeks you want to get him starts at first base and see if the work has helped, see if there's signs of life. But by the end of June, I can't screw around anymore, and he's probably not going to do you a solid again. And the fact that you're not leading the division by 5 to 10 games where you've got some comfort in throwing him out there more, I just can't do it.
So what's your plan?
I said I'll give him 2 weeks of like consistent playing time to try and show what he's got and that he can still play.
You don't think that's going to screw up Singleton, though?
That's what I'm saying. It could screw him up, but I'm gonna give him. I'm not saying maybe it's by say consistent play time. Maybe that is the platoon system. But at least he's getting real baseball opportunities to play in games and play and starting games. In the 2 weeks, if he doesn't show signs of life, then if you want to just say Singleton's going to be our starting first baseman, he's going to be a bat off the bench for the rest of the month of June, and give him a few more chances to pinch hit or do something like that. By the end of June, if it's the same old Abreu, I'm pulling the plug.
Yeah, I prefer your way. I'm just predicting what the Astros do, and I feel like they're going to protect their investment a little bit more. Look, I would have DFA'd him when I sent him to West Palm Beach. So, like, I'm cool with that idea. But yeah. I do think that's going to be his way to playing time. I think he's going to start against lefties.
Astros fans have to accept the fact that as frustrating as it is, the reality is they don't want to admit they were wrong, and they don't want to just say, he's gone, and we're eating the rest of this contract and getting zero from it. As close to zero as he's been this entire season and basically his whole existence with small sample sizes of good, that's something that Astros fans have to accept. They don't want to just eat the salary and send him packing. They want to give him every opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, they do. 8632, I feel like this has to be a joke or a prank. We're waiting for the gotcha from the crane gang emoji. 8693, but wouldn't bringing him back up when things are going well be better than him coming back when things are going poorly? There's no good time, in my opinion, but I'd rather see him play when there's not a lot of pressure on him to produce. No, I disagree. Like, if you have momentum and you're playing well, I don't want to do things that could change that can change the, you know, the makeup. I don't think he's a clubhouse cancer. Everything we've heard, he's a professional, and you can't tell that he's in a slump and that he's down. So I don't believe that. But when things are rolling, I'm not one that is looking for change. I'm a very much a believer, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, the Astros ain't broke. In fact, this is as good as they've looked all year long. Why are you throwing this little black cloud of Jose Abreu making all of this money that they're forcing him at bats whenever it's not in the best interest of the team? That's why I'm not a fan of doing it when things are going well. If things are, like, if you were to go on this week right here where you're playing the Angels and you're going to Oakland and say you have a day off. So let's say you go 1-5. Okay, well, now let's see if something, you know, you need not to say Jose Abreu is a spark, but now's the time to do it because you're not messing with what is working. I hate messing with what is working, and it feels like they are messing with what is working.
The thing is you're not being chased. You are chasing. You're chasing getting over 500. You're chasing the division, and thankfully it's only four games now. But you're chasing all of these things to make sure that you stay relevant, that you stay winning, that you stay in a position to make the playoffs. The fact that you are sitting there in a position where you're bringing a guy in that could disrupt so much, not just whether he can perform or not, but like we mentioned, with Singleton, with, you know, the fact that other guys that have been options are hitting the baseball, that to me is a very, very scary proposition for taking a big step back.
713-780-ESPN, your thoughts on that. Also, Jake Myers is a legit everyday center fielder. How do you handle the log jam with Chaz McCormick coming back soon? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. My colleague, Go Cougs, U of H class of 1990, has been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits, administration, and payroll. HRP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always get a quick response. Very easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.